This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, you are on Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we are talking parenting. My guest today is a psychological counselor, Lana Thron, and she's been on the show before. And she's slowly but surely becoming one of my favorite guests to have on the show. The last conversation we had before, we spoke about ADHD. And I mean, just the way she spoke about it, first of all, it was so hopeful and beautiful how, and I even used a sound clip on social media to share with people, because it was just like, often with certain things, it becomes very scary, and especially when you get the diagnosis with certain things. And I feel that you just kind of made it this very beautiful thing in the end of the day. So I really appreciated that conversation. If you missed it, luckily you don't have to worry. You can go listen to the podcast on hifm.com. Today, though, we are talking about something that makes lots of people uncomfortable, including myself. I don't like talking about it just because it makes me just aware about how scary the world can be. But again, I'm hoping that Lana is going to help me defuse this bomb again. because today we are talking about bodies, boundaries, and safety, and talking about specifically your own child, how they perceive their bodies, and how they keep it safe from other people. And again, like I said, joining me today is Lana Thron. Hello, Lana. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me back again. I really appreciate it.
I think over the years, even as a woman, I feel that our body awareness, I'm 41 now already, so I feel I'm very aware of my own body and whatever. But I think the way the language even that we use as adult women have, and we're not just talking about women here, and we're not just talking about little girls here, we're talking about all children here, because all of them are vulnerable and at risk. But I think even the language, what I wanted to say is that the language, how we talk about our bodies, have changed over the years. Certain things that we, I don't know, tolerated or allowed, there's certain things that if someone would say it now to me, I would say that is not okay to make that comment type of thing. But when it comes to our little ones, like I said, I feel this is a super uncomfortable conversation for people to have with each other, let alone with their children. And I think a big fear that people have is that if you start talking about it, you're opening the door to some evil that is coming in. But why is it so important that we talk about these things with young children, about their bodies and about their like personal boundaries?
Yes, so it is a scary topic for adults and parents, but approximately 45% of sexual offense cases reported to the SAPS involve kids. So just like any other safety topic, we need to start with the basics. So we teach children to be careful around cars or water without giving them too much graphic detail. And in the same way, we lay a calm and factual foundation around body safety as well. So research actually shows that consistent, early, simple conversations normalize body awareness and makes it easier for children to report discomfort or harm. It becomes a protective factor for them. It also builds a child's understanding of bodily autonomy, which is a strong buffer against grooming. And these discussions give kids the language and the confidence and the clarity they need to recognize when something feels wrong and to speak up. So that's why it's very important to start when they are young.
And I mean, when you said that number now, 45%, I actually got goosebumps and I almost burst out crying, because it's horrendous in the end of the day. But more on this just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And to, as always, we're talking parenting, and today, a topic that clearly needs our attention and something to talk about. And again, my guest joining me is psychological counselor Lana Tron, and she's really, we are trying to normalize the conversation as well. If, because if we as adults can't talk about it, how the hell are we going to talk to our children about it? But I want to talk about bodies, boundaries, and safety. And Lorna had such a beautiful way in our previous conversation to diffuse a bomb, another topic that's very taboo. And we often talk about it not in a nice way, ADHD. You can go listen to the podcast on highfm.com, our previous discussion. But today, specifically, like I said, we are talking about bodies and boundaries and safety and our kids, and talking with our kids about their body awareness and keeping it safe. She just mentioned 45% of cases, was it, what was it against, like,
Yeah, sexual offense cases reported to the
sexual
SAPS.
offense cases. That's what I want to say. It's like not even just abuse, it's sexual abuse. 45% is against children. So this is not something you can avoid.
No.
But you said it is important because it does help if we talk to them. Again, you don't have to go into detail with it. That's what Laura just said. But it is important to start talking about it from a young age. But what is that
So
age,
you can actually begin to lay the foundation as early as infancy. So you can use simple and factual language during daily routines about their bodies, but normally between ages 2 to 4, often alongside potty training, children can actively learn names of body parts, privacy rules, and the basics of consent. So the information naturally becomes more detailed as your child gets older. But starting early helps the topic feel normal and rather than scary. And it's always better to be proactive rather than reactive, especially in this area.
you know, and I mean, in all honesty, and I mean, what factual body parts, and let's say call a vagina now. Because in all honesty, even now while I was saying it, I know you cringed out there. Because so many, if I say the word, so many parents that I know cringe if they hear it. But that's just like for my children. It's an arm, it's a leg, it's a vagina, it's a penis, because that's what it's called. So it
Yes,
is important to use
exactly.
the actual things for that. But again, I'm not saying talking about it in detail here. I'm naming a body part.
Yes,
But
that's
now
exactly.
let's talk about, because you're saying like it's literally, here's your foot, here's your leg, here's your head, here's your penis, here's your whatever, your butt. What's the, should you use the word glutes? Because that's the fancy word for butt. But what are some age-appropriate ways to also then teach like toddlers and preschoolers about their, when once they know, I mean, babies, it's one thing. You're more like talking, naming things. But once they get to a certain age, they do start noticing, even like, especially with my two, I had a boy and a girl, and they often bought together when they were toddlers. So obviously they noticed that there was differences.
Yes,
Yeah.
definitely. And so the first thing is use the correct anatomical terms for their bodies. And then also explaining private parts. So private parts are the parts covered by your swimsuit. And then we can also teach little kids simple boundary rules, such as we all have a bubble. This is your personal space. No one may come into your bubble without asking. You may not go into someone else's bubble without asking. And then again, around privacy, no one should touch your private parts. No one should show you pictures of private parts or ask you to touch their private parts. And you can even use stories or dolls and practice it with them. But the best way is to keep the explanation short and concrete, and then adding as they get older, like you said, when they become
And if
a
they
little bit
start asking
older, you just
questions,
add. Yes.
I honestly, we're certain of, I mean, I directed obviously in certain ways towards my children. I had this, like you said, like, this is your private parts and whatever. I'll go into that a little bit more just now. But for me, I kind of let them also guide me a little bit if they wanted more information. Like my son, like zero. He just laughed at half the stuff that I was saying, and then it's like, oh yes, I have a penis. Ah, it's like whatever. Very proud of it already from very young. But my daughter again had a lot more questions about certain things early on, like what this and your, and then very funny questions. But on that note, that's actually what I wanted to talk about now, is that I love what you're saying about the bubble type of thing, that everyone has their bubble anyway. And it's difficult though, as a mom now, I have to say, because I feel you're very much in their bubble space and private body part space, when they are babies and toddlers and all that. And for me, I mean, it does kind of naturally happen, I have to say, that they also feel that you can't just walk into their room anymore and things like that. And they kind of also, they don't want to see you naked anymore and things like that. And it very kind of naturally progresses with stuff like that. But in the same breath, I did find it a little bit, I was very consciously aware of that. I'm telling them this is your private area, but in the same breath, I'm helping them dress. I'm invading that private area. Should you, as even as a mom, be asking, hey, can I help you put your clothes on?
Yes, so that is a tricky question, and I get that a lot. And it's true, if you have a little one, you can't just leave them. There's certain things that actually needs to happen. So a good way of actually doing it is when you have necessary touch, like even like with a medical exam, is to explain to them calmly what is happening while it's happening, so that they learn the difference between unwanted touch and necessary but still safe touch. So I think that's the best way. And it is good to ask them for consent, because then they can actually practice on you to say no. So when it's needed later on, it becomes easier to say no, I don't want you to do this.
And I mean, even with the topic of consent, but we're going to have to get to that just now. I have some insight. I want to talk about that just now. But Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you are having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offers you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 Chai FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And we, as always, we're talking parenting. My guest today is Lana Thrawn, and we're talking about bodies, boundaries, and safety, especially communicating with your little ones about their bodies. Because it is important. She mentioned 45% of sexual offenses that are reported is children. That's like a scary number to be aware of. So this is an important conversation to have with your children, because it does help if they are using the right words and that they know what is, like she mentioned, bad touch and good touch in the end of the day. But we were talking about this whole thing about consent as well. Don't despair if you've missed the conversation till this point. It is available as a podcast on Hive M for you to go listen to. So what I wanted to talk about with regards to consent as well, because I think that is an important aspect of the body awareness and what you mentioned now, the good touch versus the bad touch, and to kind of, and we can go into that detail a little bit more now. But with my own children, like simple things like, I have taught them, like when we tickle, that sometimes when they say no, you have to stop. As part of that kind of idea of that you need to listen if someone doesn't want you to do a certain thing, especially when it comes to your body. I feel that it's a good way to also teach consent and an easy way to kind of verbalize to them. But on that note as well, because you did mention now that there is certain things that I guess bad touch, or I mean, I'm not calling it bad touch and good touch, but is the word private parts, is that also a good thing to say, private parts? I feel like,
Yes.
is that the right terminology for it?
Yes, I think you explain that privacy is for our protection and private parts, and the same way that we don't go to the bathroom in front of everybody, it's private, certain things. So it starts them off with the conversation. You don't have to call it your private part. You can call it your penis or whatever as well. But I think as a whole, just them knowing that the part's covered
That's
by my
the
swimsuit,
part
that's the
that's covered by
private
your
part.
swimsuit is your private part. No,
And we
because sometimes
protect
I'm just
privacy.
wondering if we say stuff like, because I'm thinking way in advanced always with these type of things, because I also don't want there to be, sometimes I feel as an Afrikaans person as well, and also even conservative religious people in our Jewish community as well, I feel that we become very conservative with our bodies, and it becomes a thing of shame. And I just want to, I'm very conscious of that part of it as well. I don't want my kids to feel that it's, they should be ashamed of the private parts. If
Yes, I
you get what
understand.
I'm
And
saying.
it is true. But I think if you frame it and have the conversations from when they're very young, you actually take away the shame because then it becomes something that we normalize and we're comfortable. I
And
think
that's
it's.
what I said earlier, that
Yes,
it's an arm,
exactly.
it's a leg, it's a penis, it was nothing. It's
Exactly.
only now that they're 12 and 40, now it's really a, from a 12 year
Exactly.
old's already, boys, they think penises are the funniest thing. It's like, men. So, but then are there some books and games and activities that we can help with our children? Again, normalizing the conversation and trying to open up, because it is, you can't go sit there with your children and say, hey, that's your private part, and you have to be afraid there's creepy people out there.
No.
That sounds like something I would say. That's why I said it. But is there some things that we could maybe, games or activities that we can help kind of open up the conversation to our children or for our children?
So definitely. But first with like the good and bad touch, I think a better way to frame it, maybe to help also tying into what you're saying, is to call it safe touch versus unsafe touch. So
That's better. I wanted to say, you didn't say bad or good. You said safe and unsafe. That's good.
So safe touches feel caring, comfortable, or they're necessary, like medical checkups. And then unsafe touch usually makes you can say to your child, makes you feel confused or unsure or yucky, or it makes you feel like you want to move away. So then we focus on the feeling and not fear. And the key message is, if you feel uncomfortable, you can come and tell me. There's definitely lots of like play-based learning things that you can use with little ones. So there are books about boundaries and bodies. You can draw a simple outline when they're very little, help them label the parts. You can do puppet play and help them practice with scenarios. The same thing, like I mentioned with the ADHD. What if, what would you do if a friend showed you this? What can you say if you saw an unsafe picture? Finding resources in South Africa can be a little bit tricky, but there are excellent resources online and you can adapt them. So definitely.
I do really, I mean, that's now the word safe and unsafe, because again, I don't like bad and good. That for me makes, and that's exactly what I was trying to say, is like, for me, those type of words then creates a different
Moral
level or
values.
something to it. And I don't want them to feel bad about their bodies. I always want them to feel good about their bodies, but there's safe touch and unsafe touch that I like. I'm a little bit late on the bandwagon with that, but I will start using it soon. I also like that with even it's now again, now I'm thinking in advanced again, yeah. Because with my own children, 12 and 14 now, even having that safe and unsafe communication type of thing, I like, I love the wording. I'm already thinking of all sorts of things. Anyway. You can't obviously hear my thoughts, so I should speak them out now. How can parents teach children to say no? Again, no, and respect others' boundaries at the same time.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, you can start with the basics of consent. You can ask your kids before giving them a hug or kiss, and get their consent, and then also respecting your child's no, even when it's inconvenient. But then again, tying in when necessary touch is needed. Just explain to them so they learn this is safe and it is not an unsafe or unwanted touch, but it is a necessary touch, like when you're changing a nappy or you have to do a medical checkup, stuff like that. And then teach your kids to read other people's cues. So your sister looks uncomfortable, your friend doesn't like that. Let's give them space, let's move away. And then obviously the personal bubble one is one you can use with little kids because they understand it. And that starts the basic of consent. So for protecting themselves and for respecting others.
I mean, that bubble thing is also, I'm all that using correct terms, the private parts, unsafe, safe, bubble, we're out. If you've missed a conversation so far, where have you been? Don't worry, it will be available as a podcast on hivefm.com for you to go listen to. And please also remember that this show and all of the shows are there. If you haven't downloaded our app yet, why not? Why have you not downloaded our app? You can listen to all the shows on there, all the podcasts, and you can listen to High FM Live wherever you are. So please do go download the app because then you have it in your pocket all the time. Something that you just mentioned as well, with regards to, I mean, boundaries and asking for consent before hugging and stuff like that. For me, again, culturally. I'm now specifically thinking of worms and bunnies that wants hugs and kisses. And honestly, I have told my family already, and they've been quite ticked off with me, where I said, if my child doesn't want to hug you, you will not force them to hug you. But I am voorbewaar, is the Afrikaans word. I am a select type of breed when it comes to it. It's difficult to navigate that. How do you? But I mean, it is important, don't you feel?
Yes, definitely. So I did a research article regarding this recently, and that
On
is
top
exactly
of
what
the, we hear like the new
it
stuff coming out,
wrote. And
the
so you're actually,
forefront.
especially in cultural sense, parents are moving away from you have to give hugs and kisses, and parents are more aware of it. And they are speaking up, and there's unfortunately no way around it. You have to say, listen, we are teaching them about body boundaries, and it is to keep them safe. So please respect when they say no. Or you can even step in and say, she doesn't want to hug, he doesn't want to kiss you. Do you want to give a high five, or do you just want to wave? And just take control of the situation, because at the end of the day, I think their safety is more important than anyone else's feelings regarding the topic. But parents are definitely more aware of it, like you said now, and they are moving away from those old, like traditional, especially like Afrikaans people, tannie, swinkie, drukkies type of thing.
I'm moving away from it. There's something that I
Yeah.
hate it when all the tannies and worms want to kiss me all the time on the mouth.
Exactly.
I hate it. So I can just imagine that it's also uncomfortable for my children. And again, I feel it goes into that bubble, crosses the boundary, and you are saying, hey, it is okay. For the line becomes blurry. And I feel in this case, there shouldn't be blurry lines.
Yes, definitely.
It needs to be clear. What is safe? What is unsafe? And that's it. There's no gray zone in this situation. But how can you go? I mean, we've now talked about some activities and things that we can incorporate and think, but how can we guide our children to speak up in such a, like I said, I feel lots of adults we struggle with speaking up. I mean, the amount of sexual abuse with women that go, and men even probably more so, go unreported and all these things, we know about this. So, I mean, even if it's not at that extreme, how do we create an environment where we can guide our children to speak up if something makes them uncomfortable? Even if it's that hug or kiss type of situation.
Yes, so the best thing you can do with little kids is teach them short, simple scripts. So you teach them to say, stop, I don't like that. I need your help, mom, or I want to talk to my mom or dad, or I feel uncomfortable. And then help them choose 3 to 5 safe adults besides their parents that they can go to when they feel uncomfortable. And then also practice through role playing so that speaking up becomes a rehearsed skill, not something they must figure out in the moment when they are stressed. So children are also more likely to speak up when they know their parents listen to them about everyday things, when they trust that they will be taken seriously. So it's important to create an atmosphere or culture around your kids where you listen to them and you consider their voice, their opinion, and what they're thinking and what they're feeling.
Really, that profound wisdom is going in a voice clip later. But what are now we're talking about what if the most horrible stuff happens? What are I mean, some children are not. I mean, it's also we know about grooming and we know about all these things that can happen and whatever, but and so and it is very often the speaking up obviously comes too late. Is there signs that we can look out for in our children if they've experienced inappropriate? And again, I mean, I'm now actually thinking now at an extreme sexual abuse predator. I mean, I was told by a friend the other day that her daughter by accident Googled kissing. And it's an 8-year-old. We're talking your 8-year-old. She Googled kissing and then kissing boys, and then some very inappropriate content came up. And even that, it's like, luckily, then the little girl was comfortable to tell her mom what had happened. But how would you, and I mean, but she said it was first a couple of days before she noticed that her daughter was weird. But what are some of the signs that we can look out for? I'm like now talking about everything, apparently.
It's true because grooming is often subtle and can begin by seeming kind or normal or harmless. Teaching body safety skills from a young age is essential, but it's also important for parents to educate themselves. And this helps everyone recognize unsafe behavior early. But signs parents might notice could be emotional or physical or behavioral, like when your friend said her daughter was acting weird. But it could also be a sudden fear of certain people or regression behavior in little kids, like bedwetting and stuff like that. It could also be sexualized behaviors not typical for that age group, nightmares, sleep difficulties, unexplained pain or bruising, or mood changes in little ones. But parents, if you notice the signs, or if a child comes and they tell you something, or something happened, the best thing to actually do is respond calmly, avoid leading questions, and offer reassurance. And then afterwards, follow the appropriate legal reporting and support procedures, to help the child as well.
I mean, I'm actually now literally just thinking because I'm like now was now thinking, okay, what are the signs to look out for? But as you were now talking, and I'm thinking my daughter would now, for instance, come to me and tell me this. How do you actually remain calm and not completely freak out?
That's true.
This is also why we need to have these conversations. It's like having CPR classes beforehand. The chances of you remaining calm and confident if you have a little bit of a CPR and first aid experience will assist you when you are in that moment. But I mean, honestly, I would be so petrified. I mean, how do you have that conversation with them then? What,
It
who
is
do you have to also, and who do you have to report to?
it is very scary, and obviously depending on the situation, there's very many different situations. Being exposed to something on social media would warrant a different response from from actual abuse. But I think if a little one confides in you that something felt uncomfortable, inappropriate, you can just say, "Thanks for telling me. You did the right thing. This is not your fault." And then maybe get a professional person involved. You could get a social worker involved, or a counselor, or a psychologist, or even your pediatrician, and they can guide you into what the next steps is. So sexual abuse needs to be reported to the SAPS, and there's specific forms that you need to fill out. So it's very important to educate yourself as well. But yeah, I think be calm, be plain, forward, simple, say thank you, it's not your fault, and I believe you, and then get professionals involved to help
And
you.
also for yourself, I actually think as a
Yes,
parent
definitely.
also you have to speak to someone about it. I mean, just like I said, I've talked about this topic before, and I've just actually realized what a hectic thing it is if that happens. I mean, obviously it's hectic, but I mean, as a parent, oh, anyway, let me not think about it. I'm getting in a swirl of my thoughts here this morning. But again, this is it is helpful to talk to our kids about these things. And as they grow older, is it something that we often have to revisit and go talk to them
Yes.
again? How often do we need to talk about it? I mean, I feel in our natural life, these topics like kind of come up in some way. It's not, like, I can't even think of, but I mean, I do feel there has been opportunities that we've had that it kind of naturally came up without me having to sit down with it. But how often do we need to have these conversations?
So consistency creates safety in this regard. So keep the conversations relaxed and often. So repeat it, because repetition helps kids absorb the information and then they see it as normal. So normally every few weeks or every few months, or when something new is about to happen, you can just say, "Remember, guys, we're going to this place or this private part, stay private." And but a very important thing that you actually mentioned earlier is modern body safety conversations also need to include digital safety. So even very young children use tablets and they watch YouTube or they play online games, even if it's an innocent game, which means they may encounter unsafe content long before parents expect it. So it's very important to have these conversations naturally, even with little ones and online things. So saying no one may ask to see pictures of your private parts, even on a screen, or we aren't allowed to see pictures, or if you see something that feels uncomfortable or unsafe, and screens are not allowed in the bedroom, bathroom, screens aren't secrets. So it's a very important topic as well to bring in and to consistently revisit, because they consistently go to friends and interact with other kids and adults and new situations. So I think it gives us lots of opportunities to just mention it.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker, and I'm speaking to Lana Thrawn about body boundaries and safety this morning and how to speak to our children about this immensely important topic. It's been really a wonderful conversation already, and we're strongly moving out of time, but in all honesty, if there's one show that you need to go listen to, this is it, to be honest. It's such an important, because just before we went to the ad break, Lana was mentioning screens. And again, I've mentioned my own children. I've mentioned the friend that an 8-year-old very innocently was Googling kissing and very inappropriate. She then said boy kissing or something like that. And then very inappropriate content came up on Google. And that's the reality is that if your child has a tablet, I mean, these days it's becoming earlier and earlier. I was quite strict with my own children when to introduce tablets, but still, my kids are 12 and 14. You are not allowed to have any screens in your room at night. That is, it's in my room, there are screens. Because I'm not leaving them with the rest of the world in there. But again, when I was speaking about that natural opportunities that those things come up, that I think is one of those things, like you said. There's lots of these. It was when they were smaller, then they're bathing, and then they notice the one has a penis, the one has a vagina, and then it's an opportunity to have that conversation. Again, you're tickling them. And then they say, stop tickling them. And it's like, yes, you said stop, I will listen. And the same from my side. And it's little opportunities like that where you can find those opportunities. And again, screen time. I'm again very strict with regards to screen time and all those things. And I very specifically, when my children got tablets, they were a little bit older already. I want to say 11, both of them were tablets, but then phones also even later, they only got phones. And I very specifically said to them, if you are now old enough to go on YouTube or on Google, you are old enough. That means you are old enough to have this conversation. And you need to know this is not okay. Like you said, no naked pictures. No. And I said to them, even now with their phones, I tell them, your phone is not private. I will check it and I will look at it. And you have the same, you can do the exact same thing with my phone because it's not a private thing. Someone can hack it, go on it, get your pictures and whatever. And then it's there for the world. You send someone a picture, they screen grab it, and then they have a picture of you. So nothing you do on your phone is private. And I was very, very, I'm very strict, like I said, about those
That's
type of things.
good.
But in the same breath, that doesn't mean I still don't feel immune against it. They
Yeah.
are very smart. I haven't taught them yet that I know how to read archived WhatsApps. So I've now some of my things I know about phones, I am keeping a secret because they hide stuff. They also, I said to them, if I notice, because they deleted conversations. And then
That's
I said, if
exactly.
I can see and notice that I'm taking your phone away, you don't delete stuff off it. But yeah, that's,
That is, it is important,
But
definitely.
now, again, Lawrence, it's like there's a fear around these things. And again, I think one of the big fears, and I mentioned that in the beginning of the show as well, is that lots of people have this perception. If you talk to your kids too early about it, so some people will be shocked that I had these conversations with my 10-year-old. I am telling you, I had very serious conversations already with 3-year-olds and 2-year-olds. Not serious, I mean the age appropriate things, but I was not never afraid to do it. But how do we help parents to realize that it is important to have these conversations from an early, and how do we overcome that fear? I mean, I do think this conversation already helped that you realize that it is okay,
Yeah.
but I mean, is there some things we can do to help parents realize how important this is?
Yes, definitely. So parents do, they fear teaching body safety because they fear it will give kids ideas. But evidence and research shows the opposite. So age-appropriate education reduces risk by improving communication, confidence, and awareness, and reframing these discussions as health and safety education and not sexual education helps parents feel more comfortable. Simple, factual, developmentally appropriate language makes the topic safe and neutral for both parents and children. And I think that's a very important reframe for parents.
And I think that's beautiful how you at health and wellness and stuff like that, because again, for I didn't talk with my children about sex when they were three. I mean, still they all, I mean, I've maybe had more in detail conversations now that I have a 14-year-old. But again, I let my son guide me. I mean, in some ways, also with regards to it, and my husband also had certain conversations with him. But for me, it's just there's a very big difference between sex and taking care of your body and having respect for your body and someone else's body. And that's I love it. I love it. Again, like small pearls of wisdom that's coming out here. But again, we're unfortunately running out of time in this conversation. Don't despair. It will be available as a podcast on HiveM.com. But Lorna, before you go, what is one key message that you want parents to remember when it comes to teaching their children about their bodies and safety?
So ultimately, children cannot be responsible for preventing abuse. So the strongest protection is a warm, open relationship where a child knows they can talk to you about anything. And it isn't about one big conversation. It's about many small, calm, honest moments over time. And then, like you said, it's important to be proactive about this. You need to know who's in your child's life, what's happening on the screens that they're being exposed to, and you need to know what is happening in their world to keep them safe. So, yeah, I think that's it.
Oh, and I mean, it is, you need to know, and sometimes it's so hard navigating this thing that is called parenting. Lorna, You really did help to defuse the bomb today again with this conversation. And it is again, it's a tricky conversation for us to have and a scary conversation. It's not that tricky, I feel. You should be able to talk about this. But in the same breath, it is not easy for everyone to talk about. And it's a scary topic to talk about. And I think that's what makes it's not just uncomfortable, it's also scary. It really it does. But you've helped to defuse the bomb. So thank you so much for joining me today. It was fantastic. Lana, before you just go, where can people reach you?
Oh, so they can find me on Instagram and on Facebook. And I also have a website, lanathron.co.za, if they want to reach out. And I do have some body safety resources on my website as well for parents.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Lana. It was a wonderful conversation. I do feel we need to maybe in the new year talk a little bit about specifically maybe teens and preteens and screen time and things like that. And also what to do if something happens. And obviously prevention is always better than cure, but anyway, in the new year, more topics to talk about. Thank you so much for joining me. On that note, thank you. It's been a wonderful year of sharing insights. And again, we have so many different parenting topics available on hifm.com. You can literally go Google anything parenting, to be honest. It's like, and you should find a podcast on Bump and Beyond about this. We've spoken about from breastfeeding to introduction to solids to development phases, screen time, like so many things, different things. And it's a really wonderful resource. So please do go listen to it. And again, also go listen to Lorna is. She's really like you've crept into my heart properly, with just the ability to normalize conversations, very important conversations, and it's been really wonderful. But on that note, I hope all of you have a fantastic festive season. If we think about kindness as a tool, how can parents use kindness towards themselves, towards their children, teens? It's a way to ease stress. That's what kindness does and build resilience in the family, isn't it? So until next time, go out there and be kind.